Hey everybody, coming up today on Fire Moment, we're going to do something really special and take you into a midweek service, live teaching from a Wednesday night service on the fire of Pentecost. So that's today on Fire Moment. You're going to enjoy this series that we're going to continue from last week as we dive deeper into what Pentecost is and what it'll mean from you. So that's coming up today on Fire Moment. So things will look a little bit different, but the word is the same. So stay tuned right now for Fire Moment.
Town, Pennsylvania. It's Fire Moments with Pastor Adam Lawson. Get your Bible ready, get your notebook ready, and get your heart ready to receive the Word of God. We pray that the fire of God would consume your life as you hear the anointed Word of God. And now, Pastor Adam.
See, we get so focused on Jesus that we miss the Holy Ghost. Let me make this clear again. Jesus is important. Jesus is essential. We need Jesus. There is no salvation without Him. Right? We need Jesus. But if we get so focused on Jesus, then we're going to miss the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot the Word teaches us about the Holy Ghost. Think about it this way. In the Bible, Lois, the disciples at the ascension were gazing at Jesus. They were gazing. That's what the Bible says. They were gazing at Jesus, and an angel shows up. And the reason the angel shows up is because they were so focused on Jesus that they were ignoring the one that he sent back to them. He had just told them, hey, you're receiving the Holy Spirit. And even after receiving the Holy Spirit, they're so focused on Jesus, they're not paying any attention to the one that he just gave. And the angel says to them, angel said, why do you stand here gazing? And Jesus, that this same Jesus will be returning in like manner. The angel's saying, why are you staring at Jesus as he's ascending into heaven? Because this same Jesus, he is ascending in like manner, meaning another one like him is coming. And the angel says to them also, go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. In other words, many of you and I, we know a lot about Jesus. We know more about Jesus than we do the Holy Ghost. In other words, the angel was saying, you need to get acquainted with the one who is here now, because he is leaving. So you need to get acquainted with the one that's here now. Church, we need to be acquainted with the Holy Ghost. We need to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. And I really believe that we fall in a lot of sin and things like that, and because we do not walk with and because we do not know the Holy Ghost. I believe that. We fall into a lot of things, and we get a lot of bad attitudes, and we have to apologize, and we have to make things right, and we get our hearts offended. I'm so sick of offended people. And the reason you're offended is because you ain't walking with the Holy Ghost. And if you were actually walking with the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't have time to get offended. Yeah, he said it. So if you're not going to be walking anymore with the Holy Spirit, yeah, then you need to find another church, because this one must not be able to do it for you, honey. And that one won't either, because you're not in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Simple as that. When you and I are in relationship with the Holy Spirit, you cannot get offended. You cannot. Because he is shielding you from being able to see it that way. Remember when I taught on offense, it's a trap? You just, it's incapable. I'm not even going to go down that road because it's something else. We can look at it this way, that you and I worship Jesus at the expense of the Holy Spirit. Ooh. Yeah. What's the preacher saying? Think about it this way. The Father God, introduced us to the Son. Father God introduced us to the Son. And the Son introduced us to the Holy Spirit. Now, in John chapter 16, the Bible gives a very detailed teaching about the works of the Holy Spirit. The works of the Holy Spirit. It's even titled that in many of your Bibles. It'll say the works of the Holy Spirit. So in the Word, back in Psalms chapter 33, the Bible says that by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by His Spirit. By the word of the Lord. This is important because I'm going to wrap up with this. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by His Spirit. He created the universe. Now, back to Genesis. I told you we're going to keep going back to Genesis. Back to Genesis in chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit moved on the face of the deep. Moved. It means that the Holy Spirit is the power of God. The Holy Spirit does what is spoken. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the over what was without form and void. Right? Isn't that what the Bible says? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Holy Spirit was hovering without form and what was void, meaning there wasn't much there. And what was there, there was chaos. Right? Notice this. In other words, the Holy Spirit is attracted to problems. Remember, the Holy Spirit, which is a help. Right? Is the Holy Spirit not a helper? Yes. He's a comfort. He's a helper. The Holy Spirit is attracted to problems. And so He hovers over what was without form and void. But notice that He didn't do anything. Lois, the Bible says that He was hovering over what was without form and void. He wasn't doing anything. He was hovering. Just like right now in this room, the Holy Spirit is hovering. When we are together, when you go home tonight, the Holy Spirit is there. Ready. Right? Just like the fire company, those men are waiting in the fire hall, waiting for the call. They're ready. The Holy Spirit is hovering right now in this room. He is ready. He is the power of God, but He doesn't act until He hears God say. And that's where you see it in Genesis. The Holy Spirit waits for God's word to be spoken before He does it. Remember, the Bible says, does not the Bible say that I watch over my word to perform it? So the Holy Spirit in Genesis, a lot of people miss this in the creation message, the creation teaching, that the Holy Spirit was hovering. The Holy Spirit wasn't doing anything. He was just hovering. But once the word went forth and God said, let there be light, and there was light, He moved. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. The Holy Spirit has all the power. The Holy Spirit has all the power. But He doesn't perform anything but the Word of God. Remember what we just said. He said, I watch over my Word to perform it. So in other words, the Holy Spirit has all the power. But He doesn't do anything. He doesn't perform anything but the Word of God. The only action that the Holy Spirit will take is the Word of God. That's it. Now, think about it. The Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, right? They will never work against each other. They will always work together. They will always work to accomplish the same thing. Understanding, though, that the Holy Ghost does not do what I say. Oh, I know the Bible says decree a thing and it will be established. Oh, yes, true. Decree the word and it will be established. That He watches over the word to perform it. The Holy Spirit will only perform the word of God. That's it. Now, we say a lot of things, and this is what comes down to our prayer life. This is why I'm really trying to wrap up this series with this tonight, because I believe that in order to understand Pentecost and reap the results of it, we've got to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We can't just think it's about fire and Pentecost and falling to the floor and shaking like a leaf and all this other stuff. Yes, you will see and experience a lot of that, but you will see and experience that more, and you will have a greater, powerful, more intimate, more successful life if you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and understand Holy Spirit and who He is as a part of the Godhead. And stop focusing on one more than the other. Stop focusing and just talking to Jesus. And start, only that, but realizing what Jesus was saying to you and I about the Holy Spirit. He said, I need must go. He was teaching the disciples about and who the Holy Spirit was before he ever came, because he wanted them to understand, look, I'm not going to be here. I've done all I can do with you, so I'm going to go. And another is coming. Another that you need to have communication with. Another that is the comforter, which is the help, which is going to perform the word of God in your life. He kept telling them, go to Jerusalem and wait for the power, the Holy Ghost, to come. Now, we'll say all sorts of things. We'll get in trouble and we'll start praying and we'll say, help me, God. And I believe that God's in heaven saying, I didn't say that. Even the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit's hovering you right now, Lois. But God's saying, but I didn't say, I didn't cry out for help. Holy Spirit can't do anything. He's just hovering. Because the Bible says that he only can perform what? God's word. We'll start crying out. We get frustrated. We said, oh, I don't know what to do. It's getting worse. Oh, it's getting worse. God's saying, I didn't say that either. People say, oh, I'm so sick, I think I'm going to die. God said, I didn't say that, but the devil's saying, thank you. Because I want you to look at it this way. If the Holy Ghost is only going to perform God's word, then who is going to perform what isn't God's word? Yeah. Why? Because the Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And what else you and I say other than the word will steal, kill, and to destroy. That's why God's word says that, this is so good tonight, that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Because you're either speaking life, which is the word of God, or you're speaking death, which you're giving to the enemy. Yeah? You understand it? Good stuff, isn't it? See, this could revolutionize your prayer life. It could revolutionize what you're actually getting in life. Are you succeeding or are you failing? And I bet because it's more about what you're saying than what you're praying. God didn't say you're going to die. God didn't say a lot of the things that we start crying out to God for. Because the Holy Spirit, he only watches over his word to perform it. So the enemy is watching over all the other words to perform them. So when I say, like, oh, I'm getting sick, I think I'm going to need surgery, or I think I'm going to need this, or I don't know if I'm going to make it, I think I'm going to go bankrupt, the enemy's like, yes, thank you, I will do that for you. And so a lot of the things that we say, a lot of times just in passing, or you say, I just can't stand them. The enemy says, thank you, I'll make you hate them worse. You ever wonder why people just, ooh, more and more? I made that mistake happening not too long ago, and I just started thinking, ooh. And you know, I noticed how just irritated and how I ceased to care about everything. And I was like, man, this ain't good. Because I did care. I did love. I did have compassion. And now I'm just like, because it was some of the things that I said, because I was hurt and the enemy took that and started making my heart hard, making it to where it can't receive. God watches over his word to perform them. And the Holy Spirit is watching, but waiting on the word of God to perform it. Notice that. The Holy Spirit is watching. He's hovering. But he has to wait for the word of God to perform it. Right? So when he comes into our broken situation, or when he comes into our broken heart, or when he comes into our broken home, he comes, but he's waiting on the word. He'll come into our midst of our marriage that's broken, but he's waiting on the word to be used. He's near, but he's waiting. That's why the Holy Spirit's among every gathering. The Holy Spirit's here every time we have church. The Holy Spirit's with you and I every time that we're praying. He's in the midst of us, right? But that doesn't mean he's moving. There's a difference between the Holy Spirit being present and the Holy Spirit moving. The Holy Spirit was there in Genesis 1. It said he was hovering, but he wasn't doing anything until God said, let there be, and there was, right? He only moves when the word is spoke. Only when the word is spoke. Only when the word is spoke. So if we're suffering from poverty, What we need a preacher to preach then is, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor my seed begging for bread. See, we have to have people, and we especially have to get taught from churches who are going to preach the Word of God. Because if we're going to preach anything but the Word of God, then it isn't life. Then we're not going to see the Holy Spirit moving, and we're not going to see there being results in our life. But there will be results in our life when the Holy Spirit is given access by the Word of God. That's how you and I get the Holy Spirit to move. Use the Word. That's what causes Him to go from hovering to action, is the Word of God. Right? So we have to declare the Word of God. That's why I give prayer confessions. Because when you and I are utilizing those prayer confessions, you are giving the Holy Spirit the authority, the permission to move. You're taking the Word of God and decreeing it and speaking it, right? And that's what releases the Holy Spirit. So you and I need to declare, I am the sheep of God. I am the sheep of God. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, right? We have to declare that He gives His beloved sleep. That's what the Bible says, that He gives His beloved. I am His beloved. He gives us sleep. Decree that and you'll sleep. God said, whatever I put my hands to, I'll prosper. Right. So whatever we're dirt working, if you're working in the church or you're going to go to work or you're going to create a business, whatever you're going to do, you need to just say, Lord, I thank You that, Lord, You said in Your Word that whatever I put my hand to will prosper. So come on, Holy Ghost, prosper this. Right? That's what He said in His Word. And declare, I am prospering, right? I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. I am healed by His stripes. Hey, Holy Ghost, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's the Word. And so what does that do? That activates the Holy Ghost to say, I can work now because Adam spoke the Word. I can work now because Susan spoke the Word. I can work now because that church is praying the Word. They're not praying what they need. Remember when I did that teaching about prayer, we spent a lot of time praying for our needs instead of our desires. And God says, but I already said in Your Word, I will supply all of your needs according to My riches and glory. Why? Because of you being a joint heir with God. Because of your inheritance as a believer, as a Christian. He's meeting your needs. He said, I want you to tell Me the desires of your heart. What's the desires of your heart? What does His Word say? Because when you and I are one with Him, then you want what He wants. The Holy Spirit hovered and waited for God to speak. God said, let there be light, and there was light. But the Hebrew says, this is what the Hebrew says in the original Hebrew. It says, and God said, light be, and light was. So when God said, light be, the Holy Spirit said, okay, and light was. In other words, the Holy Spirit is ready and waiting for the Word. Just like 911 is there and they're waiting for you to push 911, the Holy Spirit is waiting and ready for you to speak the Word. And the reason why the Holy Spirit is in the midst of our churches, and the difference between the Holy Spirit moving in a church and the Holy Spirit hovering in a church is if they're speaking the Word. Is our church prayer times full of, Lord, would You do this? And Lord, would You do this? And Lord, if it's Your will, just shut your mouth. Just shut it. Just stop it. Stop it. Ain't no power in that. The Holy Spirit's sitting there. The Holy Spirit's like, oh, I think they're going to say the Word. I think they're going to speak the Word. And then no word comes out. The Holy Spirit's waiting, anxiously waiting to be activated. The Holy Spirit is drawn to our troubles. The Holy Spirit is drawn to our church's financial needs. The Holy Spirit is drawn to church trouble. The Holy Spirit is drawn to a troubled marriage. He's drawn to all these things. So He is in your home tonight wanting to bring activation and wanting to bring healing. He's just waiting for you to speak the Word over it. Waiting for you to speak life, because when you speak life, He'll manifest it. Now, people say, well, I've done those things, but I don't see anything happen. Jesus said, He will do nothing without Me. Jesus said those words. He will do nothing without Me. Now, who is Jesus? Jesus was the Word. Maybe this will start clicking for you. He said, He will do nothing without Me. He's the Holy Spirit. Meaning, He won't do anything unless the Word is spoken. So when you come to pray, we can't just come and bring our problems. We've got to bring the answers. When you and I come into prayer time, when you are going to call on the name of the Lord before bed, or when you wake up in the morning, don't just bring God your problems, but you're supposed to bring God the answers. That's why we have to know the Word. The only way you and I are able to bring the Word and speak the Word so the Holy Spirit can make activation is if we know the Word. It means that we got to know the answers. So we pray the problem, and the devil reinforces the problem. We pray, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to kill my spouse. Or, God, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. And the devil reinforces your problem. Yes, Adam, you're having a nervous breakdown. I'll just make that happen some more. Yes, you're all stressed out, right? Think about it this way. Jesus, when Lazarus was dead, right? Everyone kept saying, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. No, he's just sleeping. But he's dead. He's been there for it. No, he's just sleeping. They kept reinforcing the fact that he was dead. And Jesus said, oh, no, he's not. The feeding of the 5,000, right? The people needed fed, and Jesus, you know, we don't have nothing. We ain't got nothing at all, right? But Jesus said, but what do you have? See, we want to focus on what we don't have. And Jesus says, I need you to focus on what you do have. What do you have? What word do you have? What is it that you had? Jesus said, don't tell me what you don't have. Tell me what you have. In other words, what Jesus was trying to teach us, the principle right there, is just give me something to work with. Give me the word that I can work with it. Right? Because the Holy Spirit only will work for and perform the word of God. Even Jesus then was saying, hey, I need you to give me something to work with. Like, okay, a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. I can work with that. That's what the Holy Spirit's saying. Hey, Adam, just give me something to work with. Give me a little bit of the word to work with. And I'll make that happen. I'll feed those 5,000. Oh, you need it. How much money? I'll do that. I need you to give me something to work with. Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. And we got to watch our tongue. And we need to only speak the word of God over ourselves, right? Even Mark says, and I'll say this and we'll close with this. Mark, in the book of Mark, it says that if you come to the mountain and you say to the mountain, mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And the Bible says, and if you believe what you say, you shall have whatever you saith. I end with this, that word saith, or whatever you say. However your translation reads, that word say is in an infinitive tense in the Greek. So whatever your mountain is, if it's a physical thing, it's saying speak to that mountain. And I said it's an infinitive tense, meaning you keep speaking until it moves. So you're going to speak to your health and you're going to say, I said go in the name of Jesus, be healed. And that mountain's going to say nope. And you're still going to feel sick. The Bible says keep speaking to it. Go in the name of Jesus. The mountain might say nope, not yet. You just keep saying, go in the name of Jesus, be healed. Whatever the word is over that situation, or financial, or marriage. Bible says that whatever you say, and if you believe it, you have whatever you say. But the what it's indicating there, and this is important, we read these scriptures, we just think, whatever you say, say it one time. No. The Greek translation of that right there, which is so important, is in an infinitive tense, meaning that you and I are going to say it until that mountain moves. Until you hit financial breakthrough. Until you get all the money that you need, you keep saying it. Until your marriage is the way that it needs to be, you keep speaking to that mountain. Until your physical body comes into full alignment to what God's word says, you keep saying it. Into an infinitive tense, you keep speaking until it happens because your words are more powerful than that mountain. Our words, the Bible says that life and death are in the power of our tongue. Who are we? We're the Son of the Most High God. And who dwells on the inside of you? The Holy Ghost. Because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, you're operating from a position of power. Not just because of who I am, but who dwells on the inside of me. And what I can choose to allow part of my life and what I refuse to tolerate. Because of who I am. We need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need to be so much in tune with the Holy Spirit like Adam. We're blinded by our nakedness. We're blinded by those things that would otherwise cause me to know what I had not known previously. When we are so led of the Holy Spirit, it's not the knowledge that you need. It's not the intelligence that you need. It's not to read another book. It's not another diploma or certificate or doctorate or any of those things. All that's great. But Adam, whenever the Holy Ghost left him, had to rely on his own intelligence to be his leader because he didn't have one. And the reason that so many in the church are getting in trouble is because you are relying on your own to be your leader, not the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost will never lead you astray. The Holy Ghost will never lead us down some of the paths that we've taken. The Holy Ghost would never lead you to meet some of the people you've met and do some of the things that you've done. We need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? We're going to stop there because I'm out of time. I said all of that tonight to emphasize to you the need of the Holy Spirit. I gave you some nuggets. I gave you some tweetable quotes. I gave you scriptures that would cause you to look at, maybe scrutinize and dig into and think, you know, what is more is God saying to me about the Holy Spirit? Is the pastor right? Do we worship Jesus at the expense of the Holy Spirit? Are we putting too much emphasis here? I mean, you know, yes, Jesus is important, but what about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's still here. He's still here. And so if he's still here, has he accomplished everything in your life that he was supposed to? Tell you what, the time is short. If you don't think I'm telling you the truth, then how come there is such peace talks happening, coming out of the Middle East? Oh yeah, we're all applauding our president and what's happening, and we're applauding the fact that Jerusalem has been named the capital. Read the word, friend. It's coming close. It's coming close. All right. I believe God's using our government right now to help bring about all that, but that means it's now more than ever we need to know the Holy Spirit. We need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, as we get ready to close here, and everybody online that watches this, or maybe you watch it later, I'm going to ask everybody online that you connect and you be a part of this next part, that you would go right to the website and that you would give right now. Hallelujah. We are facing a lot of expenses right now. With all the work that needs to be done at the new church and expected to move in there in a few months, there's a lot of work. And we need people to stay committed and faithful. Along with that, we have a Ford Business Machines bill that needs paid. Badly, we have some work that needs done. We need them to come in and help us and get some things fixed that need fixed, and that has to be paid for them to be able to do that. And we have other responsibilities and whatnot as well. So we need people to remain faithful and committed. And I'm thankful for everybody who is. I'm thankful for everybody who gives, even people who don't come to church that are just faithful in their giving. And you make it possible for us to do what we do. And I'm going to ask everybody to give and help us tonight online in this place and be generous in your giving. Maybe tonight you're getting ready for Pentecost Sunday. You can sow a harvest seed and say, Lord, I'm believing that Sunday I receive a mighty harvest of revelation. Right? Harvest and revelation I'm going to get Sunday. Whatever it is you need to believe God for, do that as you give here and online. And say, I'm going to believe God that on Sunday I'm going to get my harvest, because that's what Pentecost means, harvest and revelation. Hallelujah. And I believe God for increase for you. And if you're giving more than $100 online, then you're going to get entire 13 parts of the Pentecost series. That's pretty good. I want you to understand it costs more than $100 just to get that to you. So we're not asking for much, you know. When a ministry gives you something that's big, it costs a lot just to produce that. 13-part series. Teaching, some Sunday morning messages, some Wednesday nights, some Fire Moment series. All crunched into a 13-part series. That maybe it'll be a blessing to you or someone online or a friend of yours or whatnot, but you'll get that sent out to you as a way of us saying thank you.